But what we've been more blessed by, and I say this from a heart, is our friendship with Bishop and Gail. You know, when you have friends that have been through the same battles and they're still breathing and alive and love Jesus, it's an encouragement to stay in the race. And I would say in a very great way, Bishop Gail, you're not the only two minister friends that we have that are responsible for us being in the ministry today. But in a very big measure, you are responsible for Amy and I still being, I believe, here in San Diego. And I'm so thankful. It's a relationship that came to us unexpectedly. And what a blessing it's been to be under your pastorship and your leadership for these last 10 years, Bishop Gail. Thank you so much. Great pastors, great leaders. They're in the house today. Could we stand and honor them as they come forward to minister?
Wow. It's just an honor for us to be here this first Sunday of 2016. How many of you like sweets? Sweet 16. God's got some good stuff coming for us. Amen. We're going to remain faithful. We're going to remain true to Him. And I just want to say of your pastors. And sometimes, you know, especially when you have a guest speaker like us, it seems like that all we do is build each other up, and it's like a mutual admiration society. And you're right, it is. And we need to do that. We need to build one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to let people know, not just themselves, but the people in which they are connected to and they're knitted to and they pastor, that you folks are blessed. You, some of you I know, but some of you don't realize how blessed you are to have this couple as your pastor. He has served on our district board for a number of years and possibly will in the future if the Lord tarries and wills. And we've worked side by side together. What you've done with the building since you've been here has been wonderful, not just the building, but the exterior, everything. And the hearts and lives that have been touched through the years that you've been a part of us and been a part of this North County for over 25 years. I know that. And so we count it a great privilege. And Gail, I know, is glad to be here. She is a cancer conqueror. And we thank God for her. She's going to say something.
God is so faithful, isn't He? He's a good God, and He never changes. I love that song, He's a Good God. Come through a lot this last year, but you know what? I have great memories, just like Sister Pastor said. Think about your good memories, not what you failed in last year. And I love the verse that says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. This is a new year, a new beginning. We all know that. It's on the Facebook, it's on TV, it's on everywhere. A new you, you know, come and join our gym so you can look better. How many resolutions? We always say we're going to do that, you know. We join and we never go. But God is one that He never changes. He said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He's done in the past, He'll do again. That's how good God is. I just, my dad went to be with the Lord on the 21st of December, and I was with him for 6 days prior to his going home to be with the Lord. For 10 years, he's asked his kids, pray that I'll die. Well, how do you do that when you go visit your daddy? He says, pray that I'll die. And then if we don't pray, he says, we don't pray a good prayer. So we have to pray again. So we just said, Lord, I just pray peace over my dad's mind. And that he will fall asleep and wake up in heaven. Well, he didn't do that, but he did go to heaven. Without any struggles, without any complications, we were there. So now I get to pick good memories out of my garden of memories of my dad. He was the pastor for over 30 some odd years. He had four children, and all four of his children are pastors today. All of his grandchildren and his great-grand doing something for the kingdom this morning. He left us a legacy. And what are you leaving your family today? What kind of legacy are you leaving them? God is good. He's gracious to you. He's given you life. He's given you health. He's given you strength, peace, and finances. There's nothing better than to give to God. I loved what this gentleman said, as he wanted to give a certain amount, and his wife decided she was going to give more, and he didn't even know it. God knows things that we don't know. He knows your needs. He knows what you're going through. He said, just to trust me. When I was going through cancer and going through chemo, all the things I would have to jump through and hurdle over, I thought of the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word." That's what I did for 2.5 years. Lord, it doesn't matter. You've been down this road already, so I'm going to trust you. He's already been down this road, this new year that we're into right now. And so what are we going to do? We're going to trust him. Because he knows the ending of our year already. He knows who's going to be our president. He knows what your kids are going to do. He knows how you're going to feel. He knows everything. So we trust him. We put our trust in him. Oh, I love him today. There's nothing more than to serve him. I love him. I love him to be able to serve God. I love writing texts to my children every Sunday morning and say, you're anointed to do what you're doing today. You are anointed to do what you're doing today. You are anointed. God has placed within your heart new beginnings in your life today. Trust him with everything that you have. Trust him, because it is sweet to trust in Jesus. I have a lot to be thankful for. I love my folk hairdo that God gave me, faux hawk. You know, when my hair grew back, it just started growing back this way. And I say, hey, Lord, I'm in my late 60s, and I'll wear it. You know, and my grandkids go, Posey, you rock it. Whatever that is, so I'm rocking it. And you know what? I have an opportunity. Wherever we go, people will say something. Do you know how come I have this hair like this? Then I'm able to tell them that I'm a cancer conqueror. I'm able to tell them what God's brought me through. And so for a reason, God gives us certain things, unique things. So just don't take it for granted and say, oh, well, I don't know. No, use it for a testimony that God has given you. All you graduates, oh, I'm just so proud of you. I'm not going to be jealous of you, but I am proud of you, because I know God's got greater and bigger things for you. If you're in business today and you have a business and it looks like that your business is not as strong as it should be, let me tell you something. After I clear my throat, let me tell you something. God is bigger than anything that you're facing in your business today. My husband was a cement contractor for years. And when nobody else had jobs, he had a job. When nobody else was pouring concrete, he was pouring concrete. Because we put God first, and we spoke life into our business. So start speaking life. I tell my daughter every day, nobody else in your salon may not have a lot of bookings, but you're going to. You call them in. You call those new customers in. That's what we do, because we stand on what God's word says. He is more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than what we could ever imagine or think. That is you today. Thank you so much, and thank you for my water. God bless you. You're in for a message today. And God just didn't bring us here for just to fill up time. But we pray this morning, we just say, God, just anoint every heart, every mind to be open to the word of God and to receive. I come against any distractions that will be in your mind today, wondering about how am I going to do this, how I'm going to do that. And you'll start writing a note, and then you'll start writing your grocery list. All right. Oh, I have to call this person. I'll have to make sure I do this. No, don't do that. I was guilty and do that a lot of times. My husband thought I was taking a lot of notes when he was preaching, and I was writing grocery lists so I wouldn't forget what I had to do. But you know what? That's my confession. Hallelujah. God's forgiven me. That was years ago. Now I don't do that. I don't take any notes. No, I do. Mary Hart doeth good like a medicine, huh, Art? But a broken spirit dries up the bones. It's good to laugh, even in the house of God. You're blessed today. Open up your hearts, your minds to what God has for you through the Word of God, through my hunk of a man here of 50 years. God bless you.
Well, what do you say after all of that? You know, I mean, it's like, wow, you know, she's one of a kind, thank God. And she's, like she said, 50 years this last February. I know I don't look that old. And she certainly doesn't, even though she is a little older than me, yes. She was a cougar when cougars... not popular. All right. Blessing and honor to each of you that are here. We just are all the time encouraged and amazed at what God is doing in our churches across Southern California. And for those of you, let me say along with my wife, congratulations to those of you that graduated college, Bible college, and that's a wonderful thing. And we do honor your pastors. And Pastor Matt is probably one of the most knowledgeable men of the Word that I know, and I know a lot of them. And he just always has something fresh in his heart to share, whether it's over the phone, when it's just maybe a 5-minute conversation. Or you meet him, or he comes to the board meeting and says, Bishop, this is what God's been speaking to me. What's he talking to you about? And we just converse back and forth. But we certainly appreciate and honor those of you, Brother Bruno and Sister Mary, of your contributing education of the Bible and the Word of God to this North County. And I'm sure there are others that are a part of that too. We know as we begin this new year, when you come into a new year, you always are thinking in your mind, okay, what does God have in store? We as believers are thinking, what does God have in store for me this year? What is it that God wants to work in my life? What does he want to change in me? What does he want to adjust? How many of you are in for adjustments for this year? So, you know, we need to be adjusted all the time. And I'm not talking about just being adjusted to the world or adjusted to cultures or whatever. We need to be adjusted to the Word of God and to what the will of God is and the purpose that God has for each of us. There is a destiny that each of us are looking to and are facing. We know that, and that we are in right now. How many of you know you're in a destiny right now? And it may not be what you think where you're going to end up, and it won't be. God has greater things in store for all of us throughout this, for this new year to come. And I am thankful for his goodness to all of us to be able to live and to breathe and to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like letting people know about the Lord and how much he loves them. And I know that there are those that when they share Christ with people, they'll hold back certain things in order to just make people hungry. And sometimes that's the way to do it. But I think any opportunity that we have to share the love of God and the goodness of God, we need to take those opportunities to do that. I mean, that ought to be a priority for 2016. You want 2016 to be a sweet 16. You put yourself and just make the decision in your heart and your mind today. Today, make a decision, if you haven't already this year, that you are going to be a better witness for the kingdom and for the glory of God. We're going to talk to you about that. And it takes faith to do that. Amen? I said it takes faith to do that. So I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to begin there in the 35th verse, but we're going to move right from there into the 11th chapter, which we most of you know is the faith chapter. And we're not going to preach every verse by verse or anything or teach in that manner this morning. But we're going to touch on a few things today about endurance and about us being people of endurance. And with what we're seeing in the world today, it can be very, very difficult for us to keep our mind focused upon what God has called us to do, because I know that we get upset about what's happening in our country, what's happening with all the different things that's taking place overseas and in the Middle East and all of that. But we need to be a people that will stand true and stand true to the faith that God has given to us and that He has dealt to us, so that we are able to be the proper witnesses that He wants us to be in this last day. There are those that are believers today, and you well know this, and many of you do missions work outside of this country. And you know that there are people that are giving their lives daily for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take a look here in these verses and see what the writer of Hebrews has to say to us about this. And once again, I said the writer, because, you know, not everybody has their opinion on who wrote this book of Hebrews. I have mine. You have yours. And you have a right to be wrong. So it doesn't make any difference. We do know that there's all different kinds of angles that you can come at. Some think it's Apollos, some think it's Barnabas, some think it's Paul. And it does definitely has a Paul flavor in it. And used to, the old King James Version Bibles always had at the top of it the written by Paul, the Apostle Paul. Any of you ever have an old King James that says that? Yeah, right at the top it says that as you start into it. But it really doesn't make any difference. We know the Holy Spirit is the one who gave these words. So we need to take heed to the Word of God. And we're going to take a look at and begin it in this verse here, where it says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." How many of you are glad for the reward when we have confidence and we have faith? That's what this is talking about right here. He said, "For you have need of endurance." Everybody say endurance. Endurance, and you know, the word could be translated patience and all of those different words that means to stay steadfast, but it means to remain under whatever you're doing, whatever you've been called to do. Remain under it, stay with it, don't back off. Be a people that are tenacious about fulfilling the purpose and the will of God in your life. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the lives of people that have done just that. "For you have need of endurance," verse 36, "so that after you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise." You may receive the promise. We know that this book of Hebrews, this was written to a people that were having a difficult time staying with the new covenant. They were wanting to go back and offer sacrifices. They were wanting to go back to some of the old ways. And the writer of this is saying, listen, you don't need to be doing that. You need to be looking forward to what God, this is a better covenant that we have. And that statement is made throughout this book of Hebrews. It is a better covenant. How many of you are glad we're living under a better covenant? A better covenant. Hallelujah. And he says in verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry." He will come. And he will not tarry. There is the encouragement to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to return. And you say, well, this has been, you know, thousands of years ago. And so, well, I'm telling you, he's coming soon. Amen. And we're looking forward to him coming. And he'll make mention of that through some of these verses. Verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But here's what I like. Here's the verse that I like that just kind of seals off this 10th chapter. And it says, "But we are not like those who draw back to perdition or to destruction." How many of you have made up your mind you're not going to draw back to destruction and perdition and go a different direction than following after Jesus? You're going to keep your mind focused. You're going to keep your heart focused. You're going to keep looking forward to what God has for you. But notice what he says. He says, "unto perdition." He says, but let me finish that up here. He says, "but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Then he begins in chapter 11 with these first two verses. We'll take a look at those, and then we're going to exhort just a little bit here. He says, "And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a what? A good testimony." How many of you, there's some people who've got testimonies, but they ain't so good sometimes. Huh? This says they have a good testimony. So verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Father, your word is truth. And I thank you because we can trust your word. We can look to your word today and we can know that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that when we walk out of this building, we're going to be changed. We're going to make a decision, Father, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Speak to us, Lord, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity for a brand new year that's in front of us. For a brand new time, Father God, that we can extend ourselves and stretch ourselves and look to you, Lord Jesus, and know that you're going to use us to win souls for the kingdom of God this year. We give you glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. They obtained a good testimony, it said. A good testimony. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. That's what we're going to see, a good testimony. At least five of these people in the record that we're going to be looking at here. And there's a total of 16 people that their names are called out. There's probably several hundred, maybe even thousands that aren't, because he also, toward the end of this chapter, refers to, "Then there were others." Amen? There were others. And some of you may feel like you're the others. In fact, most of us are. But that doesn't mean that our faith is any more less than what these names that were brought forth. It doesn't mean that our impact in the earth can be any less than what these that we're going to look at this morning. We have to know that God has a purpose for everyone. Amen? He's got a plan for us, and thank God that we can look to him. And we're going to see those things. These were faithful witnesses. We know that. It declares that to us. In other words, they stood their grounds for something. Amen? How many of you know people that say they're Christians, but they don't stand their grounds for anything? They can be pushed any way that the wind is blowing. And there are reasons why they did that, why they stood for that. And that's what we're going to see here this morning. And based on these opening words that we see in this chapter here, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen." It gives us an example of what it means that by that. He says, by faith, notice this, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke and it happened. It took place. Now, I hope this helps you, because this is the easiest way that I know to describe it and what faith is and how it begins and all of that. And I believe that this is a great definition that we see here. Now, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I want this to help you. If you start with the idea that faith is God's confidence in himself. God has confidence in himself. He has confidence in the words in which he speaks. Then faith becomes my confidence in God. In other words, God has this confidence that if I, or God says, this is going to happen, then it's going to happen. And God didn't say, well, let there be light. And then look around and say, boy, I sure so hope something happens, and put his hand over his eye and risk one eye and see whether or not there was light that was going to come. Amen. He believed what he said. He had confidence in the words that came forth from his mouth. And because of that, we can see he wasn't afraid of what was going to take place. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that there would be light. And by the way, most of you probably already know it. It's still growing. The light that he spoke, They're finding new galaxies all the time. You know that. You understand that. We see that. We hear it in the news. We see it in the media. And so we know all of that, that it's continuing to grow because God said, let there be light. And he never did say, stop giving forth light. So new galaxies are happening. I happened to be at a meeting, and it was an insurance meeting with Richard Hammer. And he's probably the foremost guy in law when it comes to church and law. But he's also an astronomer. And he showed this video, slide of this one galaxy that they have found up there that's called the Love Galaxy. And it's shaped like a heart. The exterior of it is shaped like a heart. Obviously, that's why they call it. But they said in this one galaxy alone, there are billions and billions of stars. Just in one galaxy. And they've just found that. And they keep finding new things. So God said, let there be light. And there is light, and it's still happening. It's still taking place. It's still creating. He's still creating out there. Listen, the word spoken that he spoke there is absolutely, there is no absence of any kind of confidence that God has when he speaks. It shall come about. It will happen as he said. If he said, let there be light, it will be. And that's exactly what took place. It'll come to pass. God's faith is then the confidence in himself. Now, my faith is when God speaks, it shall come about. So his word, because he has spoken to us through his word, we believe his word, so we know that it will come about. So we believe him. Amen. I said we believe him because we believe what God says will happen and take place. Because he has spoken promise to you. He has spoken promise to me in his word. Faith is not a system of ideas. Sometimes we think that's what it is. And I guess it could be categorized as that. But really, true faith is confidence in a person. If I have faith in Pastor Matt, it's because I have confidence in him. How many of you have heard somebody say, or you've said that about somebody? I've got confidence in that guy or that woman. Amen? Why is that? That means you have faith in that individual. So we have faith in what God declares and what God says. Faith is not that a system. But when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying Jesus meant what he said when he said nobody comes to the Father except through me. We believe what he says when he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Even though he's talking in the third person, he's talking about himself, he's declaring who he is, and that he's come to redeem and to set mankind free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So those are Jesus' words. And I believe his words, and now my faith and my trust is in Jesus, and I can count on him to keep his word. If he said he would save me, I can believe him that he saved me, and he will save me. Amen? He will deliver me. He will set me free. And he has done just that. Faith is a tangible reality that you don't see. That sounds strange, doesn't it? It's a tangible reality that you don't see and that you can't see. Now, the writer of this book goes on and he says this, and he takes us through the lives of people that have done this very thing, and we can do the same thing too. We can believe God too. We can stand in faith like they did. We can endure through faith. Amen? Even though we may not be perfect, they weren't perfect either. Amen? But they trusted God. They believed unto righteousness. Amen? And we believe unto righteousness. Thank God for his goodness to us. So we can see that. We can see what God is working and what he's doing in here. And the opening list here that we're going to see here in chapter 11 includes Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, the first five that he talks about and mentions their name. Let's see. You know what each one of those characterized. Let's begin there in verse number 4. Notice what it says. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And though it and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. So he still speaks. His blood is still crying out. By faith, notice that. It declared that. It said that he did. See, Abel offered this blood sacrifice as it was told to him by his parents. His parents says, you offer this up, obviously on an annual basis. And we take a look at this and we begin to see it. He offered this blood sacrifice the way that it had been done from the beginning, the way that it had been done from the garden until this particular time. And his brother Cain brings an offering from the field. And one may say, well, you know, I don't understand why God wouldn't, offer, accept his best, because he brought his best. He was a farmer. He dealt with that. But God said it has to be a blood sacrifice. Amen. He said it has to be a blood sacrifice. So in order for this to happen and to take place, he should have brought. A blood sacrifice. But God told him, you did not do well. How many of you don't want to hear that from God? You didn't do. I want to hear, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful. That's what I want to hear. And he said, you didn't do the agreeable thing. And so for this, Abel ends up dead. His brother ends up dead because of the hatred that Cain had that was leveled towards him because of his faithfulness in worship. His faithfulness in worship. And so Abel was saying, I believe what the living God said to my parents. And they told me. And he manifested that in believing the invisible. Amen. He believed the invisible. That if he shed that blood, that would cover his sins. Amen. He believed the invisible. He didn't see it. He couldn't see it, but he believed what the invisible was, and that was that his sins would be covered. So to most people, slaying an animal in the first place is just kind of a superstitious thing. You even talk to people today about it, and they think that's crazy. You don't do that. Well, we don't do that now because Jesus was the last lamb. Amen? I said he was the perfect lamb. He was the spotless lamb. He stood in our stead. And that's what makes us and brings us to this better covenant. Amen. And allows us to live in this better covenant. So we can see it. And Abel, as we look at this, he goes beyond that. It's not just a superstition with him. Abel sees beyond that. So Abel is a case of faith in worship. Everybody say faith in worship. Faith in worship. Now, Enoch is a case of faith in witness. And he lived the period leading up to the flood. And when you read verse number 5 here, it declares this. It says that by faith, Enoch was taken away. Everybody say taken. Taken away so that he did not see death. And this was not found because he was taken away. God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. Notice, every one of these had a testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is what Enoch did. He believed God. He stood in faith with God. Abel characterizes that good testimony that even when he's under persecution, he's going to stand for God. He's going to live for God. When it seems like everybody else is going their own way, Enoch said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be a man of God. And Abel had offered the blood sacrifice in a way from the very beginning that he saw from the garden. His brother Cain brought the offering from the field. And all of those different things that took place there. And we see what that translates over here into Enoch, into his life, where he says Enoch was the Old Testament example of the rapture of the church. That word taken is the same word as what rapture would be here in the scripture in the Greek. And it's the same word, rapture. Everybody say rapture. I don't know about you. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I said I'm going to heaven. It may be by the way of the grave. It may be by the way of the rapture. But I'm going to heaven. And I'm thankful that God's prepared a place. The scripture declares that he's prepared a place for us. Thank God. so we can see this. Enoch is a case study of faithfulness to God, even when things got rotten. How many of you are glad that the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound? Grace does much more abound. Remember in the New Testament where it says, and Jesus is the one who said it, He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. So Enoch is that example of people who will walk with the Lord. Listen, he walks with the Lord in a time whenever moral decay and moral declination and aggressive opposition to the ways of the Lord. We have never seen the opposition to the ways of God as we are seeing in this day in which we're living. Amen? And we understand that. And listen, folks, it's not just ISIS. It's not just those that are coming against. It's people. It's people that are your next door neighbor. They just don't want to have anything to do with God. They don't. But that doesn't mean that we stop. We've got to be like Enoch and say, listen, I'm going to live for God whether anybody else does. I'm going to be a testimony with my life. Some way I'm going to trust God. So, and obviously that causes us to look to the coming of the Lord. Amen. I said it causes us to look to the coming of the Lord. And we know the scripture says it, that the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And those who are alive and remain, we're going to be what? We're going to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. So say it with me. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Go ahead. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So then there's Noah. Noah is a case study of the value of faith and works, service, staying faithful to God, doing what God set forth a plan for him to do. He's an example of the last day's laborers. Listen, folks, we are living in the last of the last days. It's been the last days ever since Jesus ascended into the heavens. Amen? But these are the last of the last days. You know, the person who is busy about the Father's business, that's who he represents. That's who Noah represents. Noah saw the invisible. He, you know, each one of these saw the invisible with the eye of faith. Amen? They saw it with the eye of faith as we look at their lives. And Abel had not seen that blood saves. He'd never saw that. That covered your sins. He was obedient to the faith of what God had told his parents to do to cover their nakedness when they saw the loss of the glory of God on their lives. Amen. They were obedient to that. But then we begin to see this. We begin to see here in verse number 7. It says there that Noah saw judgment is real when it's promised. Just as sure as the good things that God promises, God's judgment is real too. Amen? So, well, this is kind of a downer for the first Sunday of the new year. No. It depends on how you're going to receive it. And I believe you're receiving it right. Amen? But we need to look at this and understand that the key is in verse number 12 when he talks here, when it says that he would be the father of many nations, as the stars of the sky innumerable, and as the sand which are in the seashores. Amen? So he's the father of the Jewish nation, and he's the father of all the Arabic nations. Stars, the Jewish nation. The sand, the Arabic nations. Amen? So he is, he said, he's the God of them. Amen? Now, they don't recognize it. They don't recognize him as being their God, but he's still their God. And they will face him. Abraham and Sarah were both beyond childbearing. Now, this is just an amazing thing to me. They were both beyond childbearing age, but they believed God nonetheless. Amen. And Abraham's family became the avenue of redemption for all of mankind. We wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for Abraham's family and God calling them out. Amen?
The manifestation of the Messiah came through Abraham, and he saw that with the eye of faith, even to the point of knowing that when God said, "You offer your son as a sacrifice," Abraham saw it in his spirit. And it tells us, even in this chapter, that he saw God raising him from the dead, even if he was to take his life. Raising him up out of the ashes. Why? Because he had a promise that he was the promised seed that would bring forth the Messiah. Hallelujah. Oh man, I'm telling you people, we have a promise. And God said, "I will keep my promise." If God said it, we must believe what he says. Now, when we look at this together, we begin to see some things in verse 13 through 16. Sarah here, it talks about her. And let's take a look and see what he says here in verse 16. Actually, verse 11, he says, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive the seed. And she bore a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised." Judged him faithful who had promised. "Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead." Listen, it's telling us that they were just as good as dead physically because of their age. "Were born as many as the stars of the sky." This is what I was talking about. The stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable in the sands of the sea, in the seashore. And then in 13 it said, "They all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and they were pilgrims upon the earth." Oh, listen, folks. The next verses tell us that he's moving us through to another country. He's moving us to another place. He's got a place that's prepared for us. But when we look and we see these five, Sarah is that case of God restoring barrenness. She was faith and wonders. Faith and wonders. It was a miracle that she gave birth to that child, Isaac. It was a miracle. So notice these. Abel, faith and worship. Enoch, faith and witness. Noah, faith and works. Abraham, faith and his walk with God. Amen. And then Sarah, faith and wonders. She saw the restoration of her body. It was made whole. It was a miracle for her to give birth to the child. But here's what I want you to notice. What it doesn't say. It doesn't say that Abraham and Sarah laughed. God doesn't bring that up. Gail confessed to you this morning, by the way, dear, there is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We're in the new covenant here. He doesn't bring up any of these that he talks about in faith that Noah got drunk as soon as he got off the ark. He doesn't talk about that. This is new covenant. This is a grace covenant. Amen? This is a blessing covenant. Thank God for it. Yes, indeed, it is amazing grace. God doesn't bring it up on any of them. Amen. Now quickly, verse 17 through 40. It lists all these different names. We're not going to even read through them. You know what they're saying, what they're declaring. What it's declaring about them, the faith of the patriarchs. It talks about David. It talks about Solomon. It talks about Samson. It talks about Joseph and Jacob and all of those. Faith of Moses. All of those different things. And in all of them, it never says one word about their failures. Why are we so quick to point out others' failures? Why is it so easy for us, the church, to point our finger at others? See, they're not doing it right. They're not saying it right. They're not... You know, let's get past that in 2016. Amen. I said, let's get past that in 2016. Let's be a people that will say nothing but good. If you can't say anything good. Yeah, you like Disney too. Okay. Those are good words, huh? If you can't, say anything good, don't say anything at all. That's hard for us not to do. It's hard for us to, when especially if somebody's hurt us. Especially if somebody's come against us. Amen? Or come against our kids, or come against our parents, or whatever. It's difficult for us to do that. But here's what I want us to notice. I want us to look at this here in the 12th chapter. Move quickly to the 12th chapter, and we'll be done. Okay? I just want to say this before we go to the 12th, and we'll be done. At the end of the 11th chapter, it talks about those that were tortured. It talks about those that weren't delivered from the mouths of lions. It talks about those. I don't understand why some people are healed and some people aren't today. Case studies right here. Not everybody was delivered. Are you hearing me? Not everybody was delivered. I think it was Isaiah was even, he was sawn asunder. How'd you like to be sawn into alive? Huh? There was no happy day for him at the end of his life. Except when he woke up in heaven. Amen. Amen. We don't understand some things. Stuff has happened. My mom went to be with the Lord. She lived a long time. She went in June. Gail's went in just less than a month ago, her dad. You know, 97, my mom was 89, 40 years, a missionary, my mom was. Her dad, over 50 years in ministry. And they lived a long life. Not everybody will live a long life like that. Amen? It wasn't without struggle. It wasn't without, if you knew the things her dad went through, things that my mom went through, you would say it's amazing they're even alive. Her dad was run over by a train. He was caught on fire from his waist up in a butane explosion. But he made it through. Amen. Amen. God had a plan for him. God had a plan for mom. Amen. So I just wanted to bring that to your mind. If you're wondering in your mind, why isn't this one? Why isn't that one? Well, we can look at people right here in this 11th chapter. Yeah, there was a lot of victories. There was a lot of battles that have been won and all of that. And that doesn't mean these people, the others, didn't win battles. Amen. That they didn't go out of this life victorious. But I will guarantee you they did not go down without swinging. Amen. They were swinging. Amen. Amen. And get the context on swinging too, okay? Now, chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with, say it, endurance. There it is again. That's three times in three chapters. Endurance, endurance. Stay tough. Amen? Stay tough. I like what your pastor says about, you know, the Word of God puts rebar in our back. That's why he's a man of the Word. That's why he teaches and preaches and expounds it to you. It oozes out of him. It's because he knows that's what's going to help you stay strong and stay enduring through 2016. God is declaring this to us. We need to understand this. We need to get a hold of it. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I'm telling you, Abel is saying, come on, you can tithe. Amen. That's what that was about. It was about giving. What God said is mine. That was kind of a soft spot. But anyway, Amen. Abel's saying, come on, you can give. You can live for God. You can tithe. You can be faithful in your worship. And that's why it's counted as worship. Amen? Thank God for the songs and the singing and us lifting our hands and giving glory and honor to God. It's a wonderful thing to do that. But your whole life is a life of worship. It's a lifestyle of worship. From your giving to your helping those that nobody sees you helping. That's worship unto the Lord. That's giving unto God. Enoch is a faithful witness. And Enoch is saying, come on, you can be faithful to God. Even whenever everybody else seems like they're going to hell in a handbasket, you can serve God. And you can come out victorious by doing that. So it's Abel, and he declares that he's faithful in worship. Enoch is faithful in his witness. And Noah is saying, come on, be faithful in your service to the Lord. You know, be on time for church. All of those things that we don't think really does matter, they really do matter to God. Amen? That's part of our work. That's part of our service to the Lord, is to be where we need to be on time. Whether it's our own jobs or whether it's especially the house of God, we need to be faithful. We need to be there working for the kingdom and for the glory of God. And Enoch is saying, be faithful in your witness. Noah is saying, be faithful in your work and service. Abraham is saying, be faithful in your walk with God. You can stay faithful even when everybody else isn't faithful. You can be faithful to God. You can trust God. You can believe what He says. You can know that what He promises you will come to pass. Sarah is saying, come on, have faith for miracles. Have faith for wonders to take place in 2016. Know that God is your God and you're His people. I liked what you said. You had to say, declare it to the Lord that I'm yours and you're mine. Amen. Amen. That can become a reality to you this year. That can become a reality to you today. And believe it and stand in it and walk in it and know that God is doing something great. Remember, we got to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us so we can run the race. Amen. Run the race that is set before us with endurance, he says. With endurance. It talks about him being the author and the finisher of our faith. What does an author do? Well, in the natural, an author will take characters, whether they're fiction characters or whether they're real people. And they'll write a book. And as you read that book, if they're good writers, you'll believe what that book is saying. You'll look at it and you'll see those, let's put it this way, the characters will come alive. They will actually come alive. Amen? Off the pages, that's what an author does. Well, Jesus is the author, the finisher of our faith. He'll take characters like you and like me, and He gives us life, and He breathes into us, and He makes a difference in our lives. Amen? So we can make a difference in the world. Amen? That's what He does. Oh, thank God for Him. Jesus said, it said that Jesus looked beyond the cross, and He endured. And it talks about Him enduring once again. Now, you know I'm through because I closed my notes, huh? You're saying, thank God. Listen close. He endured the cross so that we could be here today. He stayed under the cross. He stayed under His mission. We've got a mission, folks. And that mission is to reach a world that is lost and dying. I like the way John Osteen used to put it years ago. There's a world out there and people are sighing, crying, and dying. Huh? And all they need is the message of the gospel. The message of the good news. Amen? It'll be a sweet 16 for you. Amen. It'll be a sweet 16. Hallelujah. God's got some good things that are going to happen for you in your life, in my life, if we'll keep our eyes on Him. If we'll stay focused on the one that we're to focus on.
and not look side to side, but we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. We praise you for your goodness to us, Jesus. Thank you for these precious people, for these precious pastors. Father God, we don't ever want to come to the place to where that we think that we are not making a difference. The enemy would try to tell each one of us that are sitting here that you're just not making a difference. You're just going through motions. But I come against that thought. I come against those lies of the enemy. That is devil talk. And I believe you, Jesus. I believe your word. You have declared to us that we are your masterpiece. Lord God, that we are your workmanship. And because of that, Father God, you see the good in us. You see everything that you want to make us. Your word, Father God, will make us what we aren't and what you want us to be. Your word shows us what we are and where we are, but it'll also show us, Lord, where you can take us and where we can be. Let your word become first place and foremost in each of our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus, bless these pastors. Pour your spirit and your presence upon them in a fresh way. In a fresh way. Stretch your hand towards your pastors. Father God, the strength that they need physically, spiritually, financially, we pray it over them today. We believe it today. We stand in your promise today. Every person in this church, Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, meet every need, every dream that they have, Father God, that's of you. I believe that it will come to pass. We put ourselves in agreement with them. Stand in the promise of your word as your hand is upon us to do the work and the will of God this year. We trust you for it, Father. Give strength. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen.